If you need translation, that is good morning, everyone. Okay, that's what that means in Southernese. I was thinking about that this week. Roxanne, we're Southerners now. I mean, that is weird to think about. And when you say y'all, there's different types of y'all, all right? There's all, y'all, that, you know, but then there's also all y'all. And that's everybody, right? And so it's been fun. North Carolina is awesome. I love it. It has been just the last, 16 months I've been there now. It's been great to see how God has moved and worked in our church, and I'm so thankful that God called us where he called us. But know this, Springfield First is and always will be a special place in our hearts. We love this church. We love you. You know, it's not this building we love. We love you, the people of this church, and you've poured into our lives and, you know, have done so much. And we're so thankful for that. And so when Ben said, hey, would you want to preach? And I was like, yeah, that'd be awesome. It'd be fun, old time's sake. And so you have to suffer with me today. I apologize. Now, I'm surprised to see Jean here. I thought for sure she'd be waxing her floor or something, you know. But she decided to come. So thank you, Jean. But it is so good to be here. It really is. So many, you know, Roxanne and I were talking. And it's like this weird familiarity, you know. And we haven't been gone the hell that long. But, you know, it's just different. And about a month ago, Cole Sargentson was working about a half hour from where we live down in North Carolina. And on Sunday morning, I hear a knock on my office door as I was getting ready to go to the service and preach. And I hear this knock on the door. I said, come on in. And Cole sticks his head in the door. And I'm like, it was like I knew who he was, but it's like, but you don't belong here. You know, it was like these two worlds colliding, and it was just threw me off. But we were so excited to have Cole come visit. And y'all are welcome to come visit. All right? Yeah. I just want to put that out there, but it was so cool. And I said, we got to go find Roxanne, and Roxanne was so excited to see you. But it is great to be here this morning. I just want to say this real quick. This is not really the sermon. This is kind of just a faith lesson, I think. If I think about the last 3 years, all that's happened in the last 3 years, we celebrated church, 100th anniversary, right? Pastor Fred retired, then the stupid coronavirus came, right? And we are sick of that. We want to move on beyond that. There was time of transition. You know, Pastor Riley came, was interim. Then Ben received the call, and I'm so thankful for God's call on Ben's life to come here. And, I'm telling you, I really felt like God was moving us on. But I'm telling you, it was tempting to stay. I wanted to stay and be a part of it. But I know that God is moving and working in Ben's life and his ministry. And I'm so, I want to say congratulations on the 4-year extension to your call here. And I'm excited about what God is going to do in you and through this church, man. I really am excited. You know, sometimes as I think back over this last 3 years, there's been a lot of times in my own life, from my perspective, I wasn't happy about what happened and how things went, and, you know, different things. And I'm like, God, I don't understand and all that. But then you give yourself a little perspective, you step back, and you see God's hand in all of it the whole time. And I am so thankful. I wouldn't change a thing. You know, God has moved us. We love North Carolina. I've got some pictures. Jeff, you put those up there. Crystal Coast Church of Nazarene, I bring you greetings from our church. That's our home church now. And it is wonderful. We love it. Great people there. They're supportive and loving on us, and they're just such great people. If any of you are watching this morning, love you, miss you this morning, see you next Sunday. There's our new house we just moved into in November, and so that's been exciting. That's been a great part of the journey. And that right there, I wanted you to know, yeah, I am rubbing it a little bit. I admit, I just am. That right there is 6.4 miles from our new house, you know, and so... we like to spend a lot of time right there. I want to say that, you know, the beach, this past fall, we didn't spend as much time at the beach as we normally do just because we were moving and, you know, all the things going on with that. But I'm looking forward to spring and being there quite a bit. And then I want to bring greetings from Easton and Austin. Easton's back home, North Carolina. She couldn't come. Austin left yesterday. He was here with us, but then he had to leave yesterday morning and fly to New York because he starts classes tomorrow. His fourth semester he's starting. He's a sophomore and playing football at Ithaca College. Great football season. They were undefeated. They won. They played in Yankee Stadium. That picture there is from Yankee Stadium. They played a game against their arch rivals in Yankee Stadium, and they beat them soundly. It was nice. They were undefeated all the way up until the quarterfinals of the playoffs. They made it to the Elite Eight in Division III football playoffs, and they lost to the eventual national champions. They only lost this year, but so he's doing well. And then I think there's another picture maybe. This is the Polar Plunge. I wanted, this was New Year's Day. They have a Now, polar plunge there means a whole lot different. Is a whole lot different than polar plunge around here. There's no cutting through ice or anything like that. This was New Year's Day, which was a Sunday, if you remember. So, and we do this a lot in the summer. We take a change of clothes with us. After church, we change and we head to the beach and we spend the afternoon there. And this was New Year's Day. We did the same thing. And it was 72 degrees on New Year's Day. So when we were standing outside the water, it was wonderful. But they have this tradition called polar plunge. And on New Year's Day, a bunch of people go to the beach and they jump in the water. And I'm telling you, it was cold. Oh, my word. I jumped in and I stood up because just Austin and I did it. We're going to try to get the girls to do it next year. But we jumped in and I looked at Austin. I'm like, I'm going back in. But it didn't come out like, I'm going back in. It came out, I'm going back in. You know, because it literally takes your breath away. It was freezing cold. But so just a little bit of update there. Oh, how'd that picture get in there? Well, in case you missed it. Yeah, Michigan beat Ohio State again. So, yeah, I think Jeff put that in there. Thank you, Jeff. I love the expression on that guy's face. But seriously, in all seriousness, it is so good to be with you this morning and to bring God's word. Before we do that, let's just pause and let's invite him to continue to be with us. Lord, thank you for this day that you've given to us. It is so great to be back here amongst friends. Lord, thank you for this weekend. We had a great time at the wedding, and pray that you'd be with Brian and Ashton and just bless their marriage and be with them, Father God, I pray. And Lord, just thank you for the opportunity to come home and to really be praying and to share this morning. And so thank you for what you're doing here. Thank you for this extended call for Ben. And I pray that the days ahead at Springfield First will be the best they've ever seen. And Lord, I pray that this morning that you would be glorified through what is shared here today. We love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, like I said, it is great to be back. And this morning I want to look at Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. And I'm just going to invite you to turn on to that. It'll be on the screen too if you want to follow along there. But in this scripture that we're going to read, we find this story of two sisters and Jesus. All right? And in this passage, and this is really what we're going to focus on, we see this invitation from Jesus to trade the many things of this life for the one thing that truly matters. Because, you know, the truth is, in the midst of our lives, in the midst of our week, we get busy, right? We can become very busy doing all sorts of things, taking care of our responsibilities, taking care of our family, taking care of ourselves, you know, just doing a lot of different things, good things even, but we can become very busy. And if we're not careful, we can become so busy that we actually neglect the one true thing in our lives, and that is Jesus Christ. And it's not hard to do that. We just become busy. We can even become busy, too busy, doing good things, and it interferes with our relationship with Jesus. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. Let's look at Luke chapter 10, and this is what it says. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come help me. But the Lord, speaking about Jesus, said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. And this is a story that we're reading this morning. It's a family drama story. And I know this may come as a shock to many of you, but sometimes there is drama in our life caused by our family. I know that's probably shocking. You've probably never experienced that at all. But I want you to know that sometimes that can happen, right? And that's really kind of what this story is about, what's going on here. And so we have these two sisters who welcome Jesus and his disciples into their home. And Jesus has been traveling around the region. He's preaching, he's teaching, he's healing people, he's feeding large crowds. And I mean, there's this growing buzz around him in his ministry. And Martha and Mary, they know Jesus, and they invite him and his disciples over for dinner. Man, this was a big deal to have Jesus and his disciples come over for dinner. And maybe you've had that experience. You invite someone over to your home for a meal, and you prepare to get ready, right? You clean, you vacuum, you find places to hide stuff. You know, you have to go through the motions. You have to get ready, right? And so, you know, in that last 10 minutes before they arrive, it's just really stressful because you want to make sure everything's just right and it's put away and everything's just right for your guest. And probably the more esteemed the guest, the more you feel that anxiety. So that's kind of what's going on in this story. Martha is feeling that anxiety. He's a big deal, and he's coming to their house. And so Martha is feeling the weight of that. She wanted everything to be just right. And so she's working on that. And so Martha is bearing all the weight of this. She's feeling the pressure that one feels when they, you know, have those kind of moments. And she's running around. She's trying to make sure that everything is just right. She's trying to get dinner cooked. She's trying to make sure the bathrooms are clean, you know, just all those things, right? And then you have Mary. Bless her heart, right? Now, you may be familiar with that phrase, but I'm telling you, in the South, it is a thing. If someone says, bless your heart, they're insulting you, okay? Let me translate. They're saying, you're an idiot. That's what they're saying. Like, oh, you're so simple-minded. You know, I mean, bless your heart. That's what they're saying. So if anybody ever, but they say it in such a way that it's like, it doesn't hurt so much. You know, it's like, oh, you know, it's kind of like a backhanded compliment. But listen, when they say that, that's what they're saying. And so we have Mary, bless her heart. And where do we find her? Is she in the kitchen helping out? Is she going around and, you know, making sure the toilets are flush and the bathrooms are clean? Is she asking Martha, hey, what can I do to help? Nope. She's just hanging out with Jesus. She's just sitting there listening to Jesus like she has nothing better to do, right? Martha's running around. She's frazzled. She's stressed. She's feeling all the weight and all that that goes with that. And she's trying to make sure everything's right. And Mary is just chilling at the feet of Jesus. And so you kind of pick up on the tension in the story, right? And I know some of you right now, your blood pressure is going up because this hits a little too close to home, right? I imagine right now there's some wives kind of giving the side eye to their husband, right? You know, maybe this sounds a little familiar, you know? And so we have Martha and Mary and this tension that's going on, and Martha is ticked off. And so she goes to Jesus, and she's thinking, man, if there's anyone that's going to fix this injustice, it's Jesus. I mean, he's going to go to Mary, and he's going to set her straight. He's going to tell her to get busy and help because this is not this is just not fair, right? One of the most overused words or phrases in our language, it's not fair. Jackson, is life fair? No. All right. Natalie, is life fair? No. All right. I know your dad has taught you that in some very interesting ways, but life is not fair. And so Martha is feeling that. She's like, this is not fair. So she goes to Jesus, and she's thinking Jesus is going to share in the disappointment with her sister, you know, that Jesus is going to set her straight. But Jesus, his response surprises Martha. And frankly, I think a lot of times it surprises us too. Jesus, instead of rebuking Mary, instead of taking Martha's side, he says to Martha, actually, Martha, Mary's the one who's got it right. And we're not going to take that away from her. So you may read that story, you may hear this story and be tempted to think that what's going on here is about personalities, that Jesus just prefers some personality types over others. You know, maybe when you read this, you're tempted to think that Jesus just prefers the hippies, the deep thinkers, those that just want to sit around and talk and do those kind of things, that maybe Jesus doesn't like the type A personalities, or he doesn't like those who are detail-oriented people. Or maybe you're tempted to think that this is about work, that Jesus doesn't care about our work ethic. But I want to tell you this morning, this story, this passage is not about personality types or work ethic. Really what it is, at the heart of this passage, what Jesus is doing is extending an invitation. Again, verses 41, 42 say this. It says, but the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. And so what Jesus is doing, he's inviting Martha to trade the many things, the responsibilities, the obligations, the many details for the one thing that truly matters, and that's him. And I want you to know this morning, Jesus extends the same invitation to you and me. The invitation is for us to let go of the many concerns of this life and focus on being present with him. And I want to think about what that means. I want us to look at what that means for us. If we're going to trade the many for the one, What does that mean? What does that look like in our lives? And so I've got a few thoughts I want to share. Thought number one is this. Trading the many for the one is this idea of prioritizing Jesus. Now understand, being a disciple of Jesus means that he's number one in our lives. Over everyone and everything else, we put Jesus first. And let me, you know, how many of you ever had this experience? Perhaps you spend the day, maybe it's at work or home, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a colleague, but someone who you don't normally see or spend a lot of time with, but then all of a sudden for a day or two, maybe, you know, you're just with them like all day long. And what do? You have a dream about them, right? And it's usually some kind of weird dream, right? But and you're like, man, because you're not used to being around them, and all of a sudden you spend all this time with them. Or maybe it's like a big project you have going on at work or at school. And basically all your time, you're consumed with working on this project. And you spend all day working on it, you go home, and that night you go to bed, and what do? You have a dream about it, right? You're like, man, are you kidding me? You know, I've spent all day working on this, and now I'm dreaming about it too, right? That could be frustrating. You just can't get it out. And what happens is, you know, sometimes we get consumed by worry. We get consumed by the things in life. Maybe it's a deadline or whatever it may be. And we just become so consumed and fixated on this situation or this task or whatever it may be that it just starts to seep out of us. Maybe in our dreams, maybe in the way we treat other people. You know, sometimes I tell you, that's an area I struggle. You know, when I'm really feeling pressure and I'm really feeling the stress of life and things are just kind of, I feel like just weighing down on me, it's those moments that oftentimes that's when I snap or, you know, I'm short with my family, the people I love the most, you know, and I get short with them. And it's not an intentional thing, but it just begins to seep out because we're fixated on this, we're consumed by it. And that's where Martha was. A different translation of the Bible says that Martha was worried and upset about many things. And this was just consuming her, and it's become seeping out, and she's mad at her sister, and she wants Jesus to fix it. And the truth is, we know what that's like, don't we? We know what it's like to have financial burdens, relationship burdens, health concerns, housing concerns, family drama, you know, to be worried about the future, to be worried about, well, man, what's going on in society and our world today. And we can have all those pressures just kind of weighing down on us at the same time. You know, I think life would be a lot easier if we just had one issue at a time, wouldn't it? I mean, wouldn't that be better? You know, it's kind of like a sitcom, you know. You watch the show and the show comes on and a couple minutes into it, the conflict is introduced and, you know, they have this drama or whatever's going on. And by the end of the show, by the end of the half hour, everything's resolved, everyone's happy, and then have to wait another week, you know. Unless you have one of those dreaded to-be-continued shows, you know. But, you know, usually, you know, within a half hour, the conflict resolved, everything's fine. If life was really like that, it would be a lot better, wouldn't it? One problem at a time, one a week, you know, no more than that. But I don't have to tell you that's not what life is like at all, is it? Not at all. The truth is, life presses down on us at times. And it really, it can get to the point where our lives, our mind, and our hearts are just overwhelmed by what's going on. And Jesus extended this invitation to Martha some 2,000 years ago. He said, you have so many things weighing you down, but there's only one thing that matters. And when you discover that one thing, it won't be taken away from you. Again, the first thought this morning is trading the many for one. It's this idea of prioritizing Jesus in our lives. When our minds are focused on the many concerns, it becomes about us. How are we going to get through this? How are we going to finish this? How are we going to survive or whatever? And what Jesus is saying, take your focus off yourself. Take your focus off these many things and focus on me. Verse 40, again, it says, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. And so Jesus and disciples, they were coming to dinner. Of course, she wanted everything to be right, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. She really wanted everything to go smoothly and for Jesus and disciples to feel welcome and wanted and to have a great time. And of course, that's what we'd all want. And there's nothing wrong with that. But Martha allowed herself to become distracted. She forgot the purpose of the dinner. Here, Jesus was in her house. I mean, how cool would that be, right? To sit down and have a meal with Jesus, to be able to host him in that way. But Martha wasn't enjoying it at all. She was distracted. She was busy. She was consumed by all the details. And the scripture contrasts the feelings of Martha and those of Mary. Martha's frazzled, she's consumed, she's distracted, she's frustrated. But Mary's the complete opposite, isn't she? She's calm, she's focused, and she's present. Verse 39 says, her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. Mary prioritized being with Jesus. She traded the many for the one. Second thought is this: when we choose the one, prioritizing Jesus in our life, the many, those concerns, those responsibilities, all those things that we have, those things will find the rightful place. Understand that I'm not saying this morning that we should ignore our responsibilities, that we should ignore our obligations. We have those things. We need to take care of things. But what I'm saying is we need to keep them in their proper place. We need to seek and prioritize Jesus as number one in our lives. And when we do that, all those other things will fall into the right place. Some of those things may fall out of your life altogether. Maybe God's trying to deliver you from some of that. And other things, they're good things. They're things that you need to take care of. But when we prioritize Jesus, it helps us, those things, to kind of take their proper place in our lives so they don't consume us, so we're not overwhelmed by them. I heard about this seminary professor. She invited her class to share one day, and she asked them this question: how do you love God? And the class went around, they shared the responses, and then after she was done, she said, here's what I want to do. I want you to encourage you to pray every day this prayer: God, help me to love you for the next 10 minutes. And what she was saying is this idea that when you think of this, when this comes to your mind, just take a moment and say, God, help me over the next 10 minutes to be aware of your presence, to know that you are with me, to know that I am not alone in this, and help me to love you for these next 10 minutes. She wasn't saying only love God for 10 minutes a day. She was saying, but when you think of it, just be conscious and aware and ask God, show me yourself. Remind me that you are with me. And I just wonder if Martha had done that. If she would have taken a few moments to sit at Jesus' feet, to take in what he was sharing, how that would have affected her and this, her attitude and all that she was going through and the distractions that she was facing. I think she probably would have still served, but I think she would have done so more joyfully. Because I am convinced that when we prioritize Jesus in our life, we focus on the one thing, those many things in our lives that vie for our attention will find their rightful place. Those things, many of those things do have a place in our lives, but they need to be put in the proper place. Matthew 6:33 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Jesus promises us an abundant life. You know, in John 10:10, the life full of abundance, the life that is full, that abundant life that Jesus promises is for those who seek him first, who trade the many for the one. It's for those of us who prioritize Jesus and our relationship with God over everything else. So the first thought was trading the many for one is this idea of prioritizing Jesus. Thought number two was when we prioritize Jesus, the other things, the many things, will find their rightful place in our lives. And here's the third and final thought is this: moving from the many to one requires focus and courage. Here's what Paul wrote in Colossians. He said, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Martha was distracted. And in our lives, we have so many things begging for our attention, right? How many of this happened to you guys? You know, you sit down at work or maybe sit down at home and you have a task that you're about to do, but then the phone rings or you get a chime on your phone and, it's an email. And so then you answer the email and then things just kind of snowball, right? And the next thing, you sat down to maybe read your Bible and have your devotions, but the next thing, it's 2 hours later and you've done everything but that, right? It happens, and it's not just our devotions. Many times, many tasks we get lost in. We have so many things that can distract us and vie for our attention. But when we will put Jesus first and we seek him first, he helps us understand those things. He helps us with the focus that we need and the courage we need to live that way. Mary had courage because she didn't care what other people thought. You know, she broke these social rules, if you will, by sitting with the men, sitting at the feet of Jesus. That wasn't her place, and that's where she, but she didn't care about that. She knew that was the most important thing that she needed to do, and she did it. And I think that, you know, I believe that Mary knew that Martha was upset with her, right? I mean, if you live with someone, you know when they're upset. You know, I promise you, I do not have to have Roxanne tell me when she's upset with me. Right? Married couples, can you, amen, you know, right? You don't have to have them tell you or write it on a note. You know, right? By the way they close the cabinet door, or the way they walk by, you know, I mean, you can just tell, right? You know what I'm talking about. I think that's the case with Martha and Mary. Mary knew that Martha was frustrated and probably ticked at her, but she didn't care. And I don't mean she didn't care about her sister. That's not what I mean. She just knew that she was choosing the right thing, and she did it, even though there was that pressure not to do that. And so even when she faced that pressure, she chose the one over the many. And for us, it takes courage to move from the many to one also. Romans 12:2 says it this way. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. If you and I are going to take this journey, if we're going to do this, if we're going to move from the many to one, if we're going to prioritize Jesus in our lives, then we're going to stand out, because that is not the norm, right? And if we stand out, or standing out takes courage in our lives. And the truth is, we, like Mary, we have to become okay with making other people feel uncomfortable. If we begin to stand up, and listen, there's times for us, you know, the Bible says, be quick to listen and slow to speak, right? And that is great words of wisdom that we need to live by. But it doesn't say don't speak. There are times when we as Christians, we need to speak up. You know, I think just this week, Tony Dungy, right? We were talking about this yesterday. Tony Dungy, former coach of the Colts and the Buccaneers, and won a Super Bowl. You know, he's now a broadcaster on NBC. And this week it came out that he's going to march in a March for Life rally. And so people are upset. People want him canceled. They're calling for NBC to cancel him and fire him, all because he wants to take a personal stand on what he believes. You know, there are times when we have to stand up for what we believe in. We need to be vocal. There are times, not out of arrogance, not out of piety, but out of love. We have to do that. And like Mary, if we're going to be okay with that and have courage and focus, then it's going to require that at times. Again, our motivation needs to be love. We need to be slow to speak or quick to listen and slow to speak, but we need to do that. We need, when God calls us, we need to share what he wants us to do, and we need to stand up for the things of God. You know, I remember as a teenager, the pressure to fit in, right? And I remember the feeling of all the expectations that were placed upon me. I remember the anxiety about the future. And as a teenager, I remember at times Jesus invited me to trade all of those concerns for him, to just focus on him, and he would take care of the rest. As a college student, I remember being laid up in the night sometimes and worried about, you know, this whole college experience, how I was going to complete, am I ever going to graduate, you know, and what's going to happen, how am I going to pay for school, what am I going to do, and how am I going to do in the future, you know, whether or not the girl I was dating was the one, right? You know, and spoiler alert, she was. Yeah. But I remember that Jesus showing up in those moments and inviting me to let those things, to let go of those things, and to just choose him. And he reminded me, he gave me the promise that all those things will find their rightful place if I will do that. You know, fast forward, I remember as a husband and as a father, and, you know, early years of being a dad, I had this pressure. I really wanted to be a good dad, excuse me, and provide for my family and provide the things that, you know, that I didn't have. You know, as a kid, I grew up most of my childhood without a father around. And when I did, for 5 years, the stepdad I had was anything but a godly father, an example. And so I really wanted to do that. And I had this, you know, this weight that I felt that I wanted to do these things, and I was worried about that. You know, I remember, and I've shared this before, you know, when we found out we were pregnant, the pressure that I felt, because I wanted to be a godly father, you know, and I wanted to have, you know, I wanted to provide for my family. I wanted to have a purposeful life and so on and so forth. And in the midst of this, many times, I want you to know that Jesus over and over again has met with me, and he's invited me to let go of all those things, to all those things that cause anxiety, all those things that cause me worry, and just embrace him, to prioritize him. And every time he's done it, he's given me the promise that all those other things will fall into place, that he will take care of it. And I got to tell you, God has been faithful, and he has done that. You see, this invitation is not just a one-time deal either. It's an invitation for us to continually choose Jesus over everything else. This isn't just a decision you make one time and it's settled. You know, you may make that decision, you may be confident in that, but it's a decision you have to make really every day. It's like dieting, right? If you want to lose weight, it takes more than just a decision to say, I'm going to go on a diet and lose weight, right? If it was that easy, there would be no fat people, right? I mean, everybody would choose. It's not that easy. Dieting is a decision you make once, the initial, but then you have to make that decision every day, right? And it's not just once a day. You know, is it the Twinkie or the carrot sticks? What am I going to eat for my snack, right? It's a series of decisions that we have to make. It's the same in our relationship with God. Choosing to put Jesus first is initial. There is an initial decision, but then every day we need to make that decision over and over again. The truth is, and you know this, you've experienced this, I'm sure. The worries and concerns of today, they'll be gone tomorrow. And tomorrow will bring a whole new set of worries and concerns. It's a never-ending cycle. And man, it can become overwhelming to us. We can allow that to distract us. We can allow that to overwhelm us, to really get our eyes off of Christ if we're not careful. Though all those things that we deal with in our lives, our responsibilities, our hobbies, the things that we like to do, the people we have, everything potentially can be a distraction to us. But if we will choose to put Jesus first in our lives, he'll help all those things find their rightful place. And he will meet with us and he will provide for us. This morning, you know, maybe you need to accept that invitation of Jesus. Not the invitation to a relationship, maybe that one as well. But really what I'm talking about is the decision to move from the many things, to be concerned and focused on them, and instead shift your focus to him and making him the most important thing, most important part of your life. And really what today Jesus is offering essentially is a trade, to trade the many concerns, the many things of our lives, to trade them for him. And man, I'm telling you from experience, when we do that, it makes all the difference. When you know that your relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important thing, it's the cornerstone, it's the center of your life, the peace and the calmness, the presence of God comes into our lives in a mighty and powerful way. And so it's so important. And so this morning, I want to give you just the opportunity to do that. If you would like to make that trade, then know that Jesus is faithful, that he will lead you through all those things. He'll get you through those distractions. He'll help you prioritize and move those things around if we will just shift our focus to him and make him the focus and the center of our lives. Those things will fall in the rightful place. The question I have for you this morning is, will you accept that invitation to trade the many for the one thing that really matters, and that's Jesus? So here's how I want to close. I just want to ask you to remain seated, but I just ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads. And this morning, if the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, if you feel like, man, you know what? I've been distracted. God, I've allowed other things to take my eyes and my attention off of you. And today, I want to make things right. I just want to confess that and say, God, please be the number one thing in my life. I'm going to put you. I'm going to trade the many things for the one thing that really matters. And if that's you this morning, I invite you to stand right where you're at. I'm not going to ask you to come forward or anything, but if God has spoken to you and you're like, man, I need to put Jesus Christ as the number one thing in my life, I just invite you to stand right where you are. I'm asking you to do that so I can pray for you. I'm telling you, when we make that decision, it doesn't mean that life gets easy. It doesn't mean that all of our problems go away. But I'm telling you with certainty, I've experienced this. I still have to pray this prayer. But when we do that, when we focus on Christ, he helps us. He helps all those burdens, all those concerns, all those other things fall in the rightful place. And they don't seem quite so daunting. They don't seem quite so overwhelming to us because we're not handling it on our own. We're seeking first the kingdom of God and our relationship with him. And when we respond that way, God comes along, as his Holy Spirit comes, and he makes all things new, and he makes all things right, and he helps us. He may not take all the bad stuff. He may not take away all the burdens and all the concerns, all the responsibilities, but he will help you face them and conquer them. He will help you. I promise you, that's not my promise, that's God's. I want to pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day that you've given. Again, thank you for this word. Thank you for your word. It is the prescription for our lives. And Lord, for those who are standing right now, Lord, I pray that you would give them the courage and the boldness and the power to live this out. It's not just a one-time decision. It's important to make that. But Lord, I pray that tomorrow when they wake up, they'll say, God, I'm putting you first in my life. And I'm going to allow you to just handle everything else. You're going to help me. You're going to give me the strength. You're giving me wisdom. You're going to give me guidance. You're going to give me discernment on how to handle things. But what I need to do is focus on you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do that in each of their lives. I pray that you do that in my life. I need that reminder as well. So thank you, Father God, for what you've done. Thank you for meeting with us today. Thank you for these friends, for the opportunity and the privilege I've had today to share your word. I pray, Father God, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would move and work, and that you would be glorified in our lives. I pray, Father God, as we trade the many for the one, that you would be glorified in each of our lives, and that we would be able to witness and testify to others who are struggling, who are overwhelmed. And Lord, I pray that you would be glorified. Thank you, Father, for your love for us. We love you, and we ask all these things in the mighty and holy name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.